Thank you, Ina, very much for the welcome. I'm really glad that I can speak here today. My presentation today is based on a very small chunk of my PhD thesis, which was in general on the potential and limitations of European air forces in contemporary modern international operations. So this is only a very small bit of it. It's titled A Live Discourse in the Polish Post-Cold War Air Power Doctrine. And before we start, I would like to clarify what I understand the term discourse or a live discourse. So according to the Collins Dictionary, discourse is any spoken or written communication, especially on a very serious subject. Also in linguistics, discourse is natural spoken or written language. However, today, of course, I will speak about the language used in the doctrines, but I would like to take a little bit wider view. So if there are any linguists in the audience, please forgive me. So for example, I will try to investigate how these Polish post-Cold War doctrines, how they fit into NATO standardization. Do they mention any multinational cooperation? So it's not only if they use the NATO language, NATO acronym, NATO glossary, it's also how they use it. Do they speak about multinational cooperation? Right, so we start with the very brief slide on the development of the Polish air doctrine after the end of the Cold War, after the collapse of Soviet Union, and after the disintegration of the Warsaw Pact. Then I will move to discussing the allied discourse in the current publication, which is the Joint Air Operations issued in 2014. After that, I would like to focus on the factors which I think were influencing the introduction and the development of that allied discourse, allied context in these publications. And in the end, I'll wrap up with conclusion. So to start with, first of all, the documents that were in force in early 1990s after the disintegration of the Warsaw Pact, they were tactical doctrines for the Air Force and they were adapted from the Soviet publications. So they represented the Soviet approach to the use of the Air Force. The first document issued by Poland for the Air Force after the collapse of the Soviet Union was the first one shown here, the Regulations for Tactical Air Forces Operations of 1996. Of course, these are the Polish documents. They are not in English, so the translations are my own. I did my best to translate it as accurately as possible. And this first document, it was a very tactical manual, purely tactical manual, describing the very detailed rules for performing any air power tasks, any air power roles. And that remained in force for 8 years when a new doctrine was published in 2004. And that new document was published after Poland accessed NATO in 1999. Then it was replaced with the current one, Joint Air Operations of 2014. So, speaking of the allied discourse, allied context, in the current doctrine, but also in the previous ones, it is not very surprising if I tell you that the first one, the document of 1996, did not contain any allied context, any allied references, just because it was purely tactical manual. It didn't care about the international context. It just was all about how to do your job. A very recipe-like book. However, in contrast to that, the next two publications, they reflect the allied discourse in a very explicit way. And the first thing I want to highlight is the language. So they use the NATO glossary, they use NATO acronyms. It's completely adapted in them. So we can say that the language in which how the doctrines are written got fully standardized with NATO regulations and with the language that other NATO members are using now. However, I would say that this is not the most explicit way in which that allied discourse is reflected in these doctrines, because of the structure and the contents. These are almost literally taken from NATO publication into the Polish one. I cannot show you the actual the comparison of the actual documents next to each other because the Polish doctrine is a restricted one. But if you had a look, the structure, the titles, the content, even the where they are placed in the document, it's exactly the same. It's just the only difference is the Polish language. And certain omissions which were made to things which cannot be performed within the Polish Air Force. So, for example, if NATO doctrine talks about military space operations, it's been omitted in the Polish publication because, of course, Polish Air Force does not have these capabilities. The last thing that is very similar with the NATO publication is the form of the Polish doctrine. It's a very succinct document, very dry one. And again, this is the NATO model for writing the doctrinal documents. To compare it with, for example, the British air doctrine, it's very different because the British one, it talks about what air force is, what air power is, what are these their roles. It mentions past experiences, mentions lessons learned. You won't find any of these in the Polish doctrine. The only thing it does, it's giving you a manual with a very tactical, very detailed instructions, but doesn't link it into the wider context. However, I would say that even though it doesn't explicitly say we are taking part in multinational operations or we are acting this way in multinational operations or with NATO, I think this is a very explicit way, the very form of highlighting that allied discourse. Because of the fact that the document itself contains analogous content to NATO doctrine, it already indicates that NATO is the primary framework where the Polish Air Force is supposed to be engaged in. And I think that there's only one place in that doctrine where it directly refers to involvement of the Polish Air Force in multinational or international operations. And this is in the definition of joint operations, where it says that the military forces are to be used, among others, in a collective defense of one of the NATO members or the whole alliance. And this is the only place where it refers that, yes, we are going to use them in the international context, in the allied context. But other than that, there's no explicit mention of that. It's all shown in the language, in the form, in the structure. And the last point here is, it again links it to NATO publication, that the Polish doctrine is joint one and published on operational level. And in fact, year 2014 marked a shift in Poland from single service doctrines to joint ones. And I'll discuss that shift in a few slides. But now I just wanted to give you a very brief clarification on the differences between the strategic, operational, and tactical levels of warfare, because that will help you see how these differences affect the doctrines. So as you can see now here from the graphic, the strategic level is the highest one, and as defined by NATO, is the level where a nation or group of nations determines national or multinational security objectives and deploys national, including military, resources to achieve them. Subsequently, the lower one is the operational level, where campaigns and major operations are planned, conducted, and sustained to accomplish the strategic objectives within theaters of areas of operations. And the lowest one is the tactical one, where activities, battles, and engagements are planned and executed to accomplish military objectives assigned to tactical formations and units. And to illustrate the difference it may have on the doctrine, I just want to refer once again to the British one, because the British doctrine was issued at the strategic level. And as I already said, it's explaining the very concept of using air power, its role, its historical references, while the current Polish doctrine was issued at the operational one. And in fact, although here I refer to it as a doctrine, in the Polish national hierarchy of publications, of the official publications, It is a second-rate document and is referred to as a doctrinal document. So it's directly subordinate to the doctrine for conducting joint operations. Unfortunately, I didn't get access to this one, so I cannot tell you if there are any references to Air Force in the first round doctrine. But I guess there will be at least some. So overall, there's no air power doctrine in Poland issued on a strategic level, and the operational one is as high as we can go. That's why I will keep comparing that on some occasions with the British one, even though they are two different levels of warfare, just because these are the highest air-specific documents in a country. However, there was a development in NATO in June last year when NATO issued a new air-specific strategic document called the NATO's Joint Air Power Strategy. So far, there has not been nothing similar published in Poland, so I guess we'll need to wait and see if something like that appears. Right, so having discussed what I identified as the Allied Discourse, what I think the elements of this discourse are, I could actually finish this presentation now, but I'm not really interested if the Allied Discourse is there, because it's obvious that it is, as Poland is a very active NATO member. So at some point it will appear there. But what I'm more interested in is the way to discover how it got there, how it was developing through these last 25, 30 years. So in order to do that, I identified four factors that I think had the most influence on the introduction and on the development of the Allied Discourse in the Polish post-Cold War air doctrine. And these are the geopolitical changes in the early 1990s as the effect of the disintegration of the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact. Secondly, the transformation of the Polish strategic thought. Thirdly, institutional and organizational changes in the military sector, because Polish military, as any other European armed forces in 1990s, underwent a significant transformation in the post-Cold War period, which of course affected also the doctrinal publications. And the last one is time, or more specifically, a moment in time, a period in time, when all of these aforementioned changes were taking place. So let's start with the first one, the geopolitical changes in the early 1990s. As we are all aware, after the Second World War, Poland found itself under the influence of the Soviet Union and became a member of the Warsaw Pact. After the bipolar order in Europe ended, the country started to reorientate its politics, and it decided to abandon completely the former Eastern focus and integrate into the West. So this change of this political course was adapted in order for Poland to make itself independent from Moscow's and from their influence in area of politics, economy, and defense. And the new situation, it won't be very surprising that the new situation presented Poland with many challenges that needed to be addressed at that time and that needed to be addressed almost simultaneously. And they were ranging from the collapse of the old structures and the need to build the state's position in Europe to creation of new countries in the closest neighborhood. So after the reunification of Germany in 1990, then we have the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991 and dissolution of Czechoslovakia 2 years later, the number of Poland's neighbors rose from 3 to 7. So there was no longer only the Soviet Union, Czechoslovakia and Germany. There were now Russia with the Kaliningrad Oblast, Lithuania, Belarus, Ukraine, Slovakia, Czech Republic, and Germany. So, of course, to start the cooperation, Poland signed bilateral treaties with all of them between 1991 and 1994. But on top of that, Poland was also very actively involved in the process of building regional cooperation. And that involved such forms like the Weimar Triangle with France and Germany, 1991, Visegrad Group with Czechoslovakia and Hungary, same year, and a year later, the Central European Free Trade Agreement. However, Polish government had much bigger ambitions at that time. As I already said, it was the activities of the government were very much West-oriented. So we could, of course, say that it's completely understandable where a country wants to build a very own position among other states, and when a country doesn't want that position to be associated with its former relations with the Soviet Union. So the works which were focusing on entering the structures of Western Europe started almost immediately. And as early as 1991, Poland joined the Council of Europe, and the same year signed the European Agreement establishing an association between the European communities and their member states of the one part and the Republic of Poland of the other part. However, the main strategic goal here became joining the structures of NATO and European Union, which was achieved respectively in 1999 and 2004. And becoming a member of these two not only strengthened Poland's security, but also significantly changed its geopolitical position in Europe. So it was no longer an outlying state to the Western Europe. Instead, after entering the structures, Polish eastern border became the NATO and the EU border. And the country finally took a completely independent place among other states. But now, there was another challenge. How to function within this new multinational environment? And that leads us to the next point, which is the transformation of the Polish strategic thought. As I already mentioned at the Air Force doctrines, in the early 1990s, Poland did not have its own Air Force doctrine. They were all adapted from the Soviet ones. And the same happened with the national strategic documents. So in 1991, Poland did not have its own national security and defense strategy. It did not have its own foreign policy. And the documents that were in force were, in fact, executive documents to doctrinal publications of Warsaw Pact or the Soviet Union. Therefore, after 1990, the country regained the political independence and could finally start to work on its own national defense and security strategy. However, it wasn't that easy because the policymakers, the government, they had to almost learn from scratch how to do it and what to include in these documents. So that resulted in a series of different publications being issued. And the first post-Second World War, not even post-Cold, but post-Second World War doctrine, explicitly addressing the issues of security and defense, was issued in February 1990. And as you can see from the date, it was issued still within the framework of the Warsaw Pact. And to be honest, it was already outdated at the time of writing. Just because the old force, they didn't want to admit the fact that the Warsaw Pact was falling apart, and they still refer to the bipolar divide in Europe. Nevertheless, this document marked the beginning of independent national strategic thinking in the post-Cold War Poland. It was followed by two documents issued in 1992, and these are a very important step in the transformation of the Polish strategic thought, because they present a very wide approach to national security, including such aspects as the politics, military, economics, ecological issues, social, ethnic aspects. And at the same time, they are acknowledging that the new security situation within the region is changing. So the Europe is unifying at the Western border, and the Soviet Union is disintegrating at the Eastern. And it also stressed the importance of regional cooperation for Poland. Other point why it was so important was that it wasn't prepared by a very narrow circle of defense experts like the previous one. The doctrines of 1992, the strategies of 1992, they involved people from, of course, Ministry of National Defense, but also Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Interior, Council of Ministers Office, Polish Armed Forces, or National Security Bureau. So there was a very wide perspective from different departments. However, even more important for this presentation is that these two documents, they set out the strategic, long-term strategic goal for Poland for the 1990s, which was joining the structures of NATO and the EU, which, as I already said in the previous slide, was ultimately gained in 1999 and 2004. They remained in force until 2000, when a new strategy was issued together with sectoral publication, the Defense Strategy of the Republic of Poland. And these two, they were revised several times. The newest security strategy is of 2014, and the defense strategy is of 2013. And what is also important, the newest national security strategy of Poland is also a result of a national security strategic review of 2010-2012, which was the first comprehensive review of that kind in Poland and resulted in publishing that strategy, but also the white book on the national security. So why am I trying to put you to sleep with all these different documents? Well, I shall be talking about the Air Force Air Power Doctrine. Well, this is something that I already mentioned, that in contrary to the British environment, the Polish Air Power Doctrine has been issued on a completely different level, the operational level. That's one point. The second point is that compared to the British one, it doesn't contain any context, any historical references, any philosophy behind how to use air power, what is air power, what are we using our air forces or even armed forces for. That's because all of these things are scattered among these documents, and they are contained currently in the strategy of 2014 and in the White Book of National Security. So, for example, you will find in the strategy for several times stressed the importance of developing multinational political and military cooperation within the structures of NATO and EU, as well as with the US. But you won't find it repeated in the air power doctrine. So the third factor, which I pointed out as influencing the development of the allied discourse, are the institutional and organizational changes in the military sector. So they affected the shape of the air doctrine in a very explicit way. And the changes for the Polish Air Force started quite early, because they started in 1990. When the separate formations, the Air Force and the Country Air Defense Force, were joined together and formed one formation, the Air Force and the Counter Air Defense Forces. Later, it was renamed the Polish Air Force in 2004. And similar structural changes were taking place in different services as well, the Land Forces, the Navy, the Special Forces. And the final stage of that long-term structural transformation of Polish military forces was creating in 2014 two joint commands. So the separate commands for the Air Force, Land Forces, Navy, Special Forces were joined together and created Armed Forces General Command and the Armed Forces Operational Command. And of course, these structural changes were not the only element of the military transformation. It involved such things like the equipment modernization, cuts in defense budgets, decreasing number of personnel, abolition of the conscription, which in Poland was in 2009. This is a very complex and broad process, and there is no time to actually dwell on that here. But it's all reflected in the documents that we are talking about, because ultimately it led to professionalization of the Polish armed forces and air forces as well, and their increased interoperability with the allies. So they had to make certain changes within this military transformation that will adapt them to work together with different countries within NATO predominantly. And this process can be very vividly seen in the authorship of these three documents, because, as I already said, we can see a shift in Polish Air Force doctrine from single service to joint publication. And once the Polish Air Force became part of professional armed forces, it focused on the idea of jointness, which basically is understood as a participation of at least two military services together in an operation. And we can see it widely across Europe in the post-Cold War era, that the clear three-service divide where we have separate land, air and navy forces was gradually replaced with the concept of jointness. And the idea of jointness was introduced by pointing out that the nature of potential new challenges and future operations after the Cold War will require the use of deployable joint forces rather than individual services. And here we can see that shift evident in the development of the Polish air doctrine. So looking at the three documents, we can easily observe this transformation. The first one, the document of 1996, and the second one, 2004, they were still issued by the command of Air Force and Counter-Air Defense. So they were single service, they were issued by Air Force for the Air Force. But the current one was published by the Doctrine and Training Center of the Polish Armed Forces. And this is a fairly new institution, which started to function in December 2011, and also is a result of the military transformation I was talking about. So it's an institution which stands outside of the services and provides them with joint doctrines, provides them with standardized documents. It's also responsible for developing concepts and for managing the process of lessons learned from past operations, past experiences. To compare with the UK, there's a similar one here in Chivenham, the DCDC, which stands for Development Concepts and Doctrine Center, established after the Security and Defense Review in 1998. So we can see equivalence also here of that. And the last factor I listed here is time, or as I said, a moment in time when the discussed changes were taking place. And I just wanted to very briefly tell you why I think it should be here. Because when I was analyzing the Polish doctrines, what puzzled me was first that there wasn't much going on because we have only three documents issued within the last 25, 30 years. While during the same period of time here in the UK, we have at least six of them. And second thing I started to wonder was that why did it take that long to revise the Polish air power doctrine after it accessed NATO? Because Poland joined NATO in 1999 and the new doctrine was issued in 2004. So it took 5 years. So why that long? Why wasn't it done once we joined the alliance, or maybe shortly prior to that in preparedness to join? And I found several reasons for such situation. Luckily, the lack of political will is not among them, because they were rather of a different character. And one, I think, was the language barrier. For my research, I conducted several interviews with Polish serving and retired Air Force officers. Some of them were also academics. And when I asked this question, one of them said that because of the country's former membership in the Warsaw Pact, the foreign language dominating among Polish officers was, of course, Russian. But on top of that, learning or knowledge of any other Western languages was, very delicately speaking, unpopular. And I found a confirmation of that statement in the Polish Air Force archives, where I came across of an order of the commander for the anti-aircraft forces, which said that officers who did not speak Russian on a satisfactory level, or who were showing a disrespectful attitude, whatever that meant, towards learning that language, were to be refused certain privileges or even removed from their posts. And that order was dated 1977. So, of course, such orders were no longer in place in 1999. However, I think it still required time to adjust, especially for the older generation of the military personnel. Another reason for not revising the doctrine right after joining NATO was that although there was a special committee responsible for adapting the NATO regulations into national documents, there was no separate units specifically designed for writing those national doctrines. So the work was done, but it was done somehow after hours, what certainly did not speed up the whole process. And finally, the delay was linked to the overall situation in the country and in the Polish armed forces. As I said, the transformation, the military transformation initiated in early 1990s involved a lot of things. It involved the process of reducing personnel, organizational and structural changes, withdrawing outdated equipment, buying a new one, learning how to fly it. And several interviewees of mine agreed that this was, of course, very intense period, but also very chaotic. And it simply created a situation where it was not a favorable moment for systematic thinking about security and defense strategy, or even writing doctrines. And on top of that, I also think that there must have had some effect the personnel issues. Because if you think of that, the highest rank posts in Polish Air Force or the armed forces in general, before 1990, they were mostly taken by the Soviets, by the Russians. Of course, after they left completely in 1993, they were left empty. So the Polish officers had to fill them, but very often, because they were serving below these ranks, they needed a lot of time to actually adjust and prepare, because they were, some of them were completely unprepared to take these higher posts. So again, it needed time to actually adjust to the new situation that all of this created. And to quickly conclude, the situation in Europe was very clear during the Cold War. We all know that there were two easily defined opposed blocs, NATO, Warsaw Pact. And the end of the bipolar order marked a shift in defense policies and transformation of the Western militaries. And the same happened for Poland and the Polish Air Force. So as I already mentioned, the transformation of the Polish strategic thought began with the very end of the Cold War. And at that time, Poland found itself in a situation where it could finally develop its own strategic documents, but also where it had to learn how to do it independently and without any external directives. So the period of almost 30 years involved deep changes in strategic thinking and creating own national documents. It also resulted in transformation of the whole armed forces, and that is including the Air Force. And the evolution of the Polish post-Cold War air power doctrine in different ways reflects the early 1990s transformation period, what I was trying to show here. So there were subsequent publications issued following the changes in Poland's strategic environment, such as joining the structures of NATO, even though that was a delayed publication, or different efforts made in order to adjust the national military forces to the alliance's requirements. And here we can point to the creation of the Doctrine and Training Center responsible for the joint documents, or the two joint commands for the armed forces. So overall, it resulted in a shift from a single service to joint doctrine, as well as almost literal incorporation of NATO's documents into the national system in their contents and structure and language. So that's all from me.